In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing our series, Kicking It Old Sunday School, in which we're dealing with like Sunday school stories that you might have learned when you were a little kid, and we're applying them to our adult lives. Now today we're going to look at the account of Solomon and his wisdom. Now Solomon was King David's son. He became the king of Israel at the age of 15 when David died. Think about this, 15 years old. What were you doing, okay? Did you even know how to clean your room at 15? Okay, so now he is the king of Israel, of God's people. So we're going to pick up in chapter 3, 1 Kings 3, 3 through 4. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. So Solomon loved the Lord, followed God like David his father did, but he was involved in something that was displeasing to the Lord, that was making offerings in high places, which was essentially making offerings in places that others made offerings to pagan gods. God had explicitly instructed the Israelites to destroy all these high places associated with pagan worship and to only worship him in the places that he designated. Deuteronomy 12, 2 through 5 talks about this, namely the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. So he was displeasing the Lord by making these offerings in the wrong places, the high places. So here is what the Lord does. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you." So the question now is why does God approach Solomon in this way? Solomon's disobedient to the Lord, and the Lord says, "Ask me. Ask what I shall give you." Now, I think there's a few reasons. These are reasons that, you know, as I'm studying, came up with. I think the first is God knows Solomon's heart, and the condition of his heart is stated in verse 3. He loved the Lord. So God knows that he loves him. So this is where it all starts for everyone, right? We will all sin. We're all going to make mistakes. But the question is do you love the Lord? Where is your heart? So God knew Solomon loved him, so he came to him in this way. The second reason kind of connects to that, and I think God approaches Solomon in this way. It's kind of like a loving parent that wants to know from their child, how can I help you? How can I help you obey me? Those of you that are parents, you realize you don't want to just be this autocratic person that's just like, I said it, now you do it. You kind of want to help your kids understand why obedience is so important, that you love them, that you care about them. So you approach them in ways of saying, like, how can I help you? How can I make this easier? How can I help you understand this? So I think that God approaches Solomon and basically is saying, as a loving parent, how can I help you to lead my people? Okay, how can I help you obey and not lead them astray? Now think about how God approaches us through Christ. We are in a sinful state. We talked about this a few weeks ago, right? In our disobedience, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not like, okay, you're obedient, you're doing a pretty good job. Now Christ is going to be like, since that's the case, you know, you seem like a pretty good boy or girl, so now I'm going to, like, finish the work for you by dying on the cross. No. Christ is saying, while we're still sinners in disobedience, Christ is willing to die for us. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He rose from the grave to show that he could do that. He tells us, all who believe will have eternal life. See, this is something called grace. We don't deserve that treatment, but God gives us that treatment. He approaches us that way. So I think that God was offering Solomon grace. In his case, it's almost like a second chance because he became king, and now he was offering in high places, which was displeasing to the Lord and leading the people the wrong way. But now God says, ask what I shall give you. Now, the third reason God approaches Solomon in this way is something that we're going to see when Solomon makes his actual request. God wants to show us how Solomon's request results in bringing glory to God, blessing himself, and actually blessing the people that he leads. So before we look at Solomon's request of the Lord, I want to ask you this one question. This is something for you to answer in your mind and hold on to as we move through this sermon. What is your request of God right now? If God were to ask you, what do you want from him right now? What's your one request? If God were asking, what would you ask for? Keep that answer in your mind as we study. So here is how Solomon answers the Lord. And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day." So Solomon starts by what he's witnessed. You have been loving and faithful to my father David. You've taken care of your people. You've taken care of him. You've given him this kingdom to rule. Not only that, you've also given him a son to take on this kingdom after him. So then it goes on. He says, "And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in the place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude." So now what he's saying is he's like, I'm the king, and I'm 15, okay? I'm 15 years old. I'm just a little child. I don't really know how to rule your people. And guess what? There's a lot of them, okay? So I'm in charge of all these people. So here is the request. "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" So here's the request. Solomon asks for wisdom. But notice why. So he can do a good job for God. Notice that? His request is based on bringing glory to God. God, I want to do a good job for you. Now I need wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I'm a young person, and I'm not sure how to do this. But God, give me the wisdom to do this. Now, I want you to think back to your request. Was your request that focused around you, or did it focus around what you can do to bring glory to God? Now think about this for a second. Was it focused on you and your need, or was it focused on how you can bring glory to God? Now, Solomon's request for wisdom is focused, obviously, on bringing glory to God. But imagine if your requests of God were rooted in bringing glory to him. Imagine this. If the requests that you made of God were rooted in bringing glory to him, what would your life look like? What do you think your life would look like? Well, I'm going to tell you what your life will look like. It will be a life of watching God provide for you. It will be a life of watching God provide for you. Why? Because you are focused in on him rather than yourself. And when we focus on what God desires from us, he takes care of the rest. This is why Jesus said this. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Now, most of the time, our requests are based on things that we are anxious or worried about. We're worried, we're concerned. Something's going on in life, so we go to prayer. Now, I want to be clear. It is not wrong to pray about things like this. It's not wrong to pray about things like this. But if we're so consumed in our prayer life with focusing on things like this, it's going to overshadow what is really important, and that is bringing glory to God. Now, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you prayed for a family member or friend that didn't know Jesus to come to know Jesus, and God uses you to help them understand who Jesus is? When's the last time you prayed for a fellow Christian in their spiritual walk to actually have a closer relationship with the Lord? See, these types of prayers bring glory to God because the focus is, how can you use me to help other people see who you are or understand who you are? And again, I'm not saying praying for ailments and different things like that is wrong. Okay, we do that. We're called to do that. But if we just focus in on those basic things that we're anxious about, we're not really going to actually live out the purpose of bringing glory to God. Jesus wants us to know, our Heavenly Father provides our needs, so do not worry about those basic things. Direct your requests to bringing glory to Him. Now let's find out what happened to Solomon because of his request of wisdom to rule. It says, it pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I will give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. Now, God granted him this wise, discerning mind to rule, so much so that no one had ever been as wise as him, and no one will ever be, except for Jesus, obviously. But why? Well, the reason is because this request by Solomon was to bring glory to God. Now, God doesn't stop there, and this is what he says. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So now, an added bonus in response to his request for wisdom, God blesses Solomon with riches, honor, and prestige. This is a good investment, right? Okay, think about this. If Solomon walks in righteousness, God will also lengthen his days. Now, sadly, toward the end of his life, Solomon did do some things that displeased the Lord, and he ended up dying around 55 years old. Scriptures pretty much say of natural causes. We won't know on this side of heaven if that was a shortening of days or not. We don't know. It doesn't say that. So when Solomon was following the Lord, though, wisdom, riches, honor, prestige characterized his life. Now, back to us. Again, Jesus. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. See, when you are anxious and worried, you're essentially wasting time. It's basically what's happening. Now, Jesus brings up Solomon. It says, the wise king that was so blessed, Jesus tells us that Solomon doesn't even look as good as the lilies of the field that God created and how God takes care of them. So then it goes on and says this, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, Jesus is telling us, have faith that your Heavenly Father will always take care of the basic needs. He's going to take care of those things. Have faith. And then he goes on and says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So now you see how Jesus brings this to a head? The unbelievers worry and are anxious about basic needs. This is what the unbelievers worry about. Are you like the unbelievers, worried and concerned about those things? But what we should focus in on is bringing glory to God, and he's going to take care of the rest. Notice what it says, but seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's saying, worry about the spiritual things, and the physical things are going to be taken care of by God. In other words, don't live like the world. Live the way God desires you to live. Does that make you feel at ease? It makes me feel at ease to know that God is going to provide. Now back to Solomon and his response. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So his response to the Lord's answer was obedience. Remember, his disobedience was offering sacrifices in the high places. Now he stood before the Ark of the Covenant, made those offerings, and with these offerings, what did he do? He blessed the servants. He had a feast. Okay, so His request brought glory to God. It also blessed others. God obviously blessed him. He said, because you didn't ask for that, I'm going to give you this, this, and this. Now think about this for a minute. Solomon's request for wisdom brought glory to God, and now his obedience not only pleases God, but it blesses the people around him. You see, when our focus is only ourselves, God is not glorified. People around us are not blessed. Think about this. If your focus is just on you, God will not be glorified, and the others around you will not be blessed. But when the focus is bringing God glory, the people around us are blessed, and God takes care of our needs. Now, this does not make sense to the unbelieving world. I will tell you that. But it should make perfect sense to you if you are a believer. But now we're going to transition in Solomon's account to an example of wisdom and discernment that the Lord gave Solomon to rule. And it picks up in 1 Kings 3, verse 16. I'm going to summarize a little, and then we're going to get to some of the verses that are in this account. Now, there's two women. They lived in the same household. Both gave birth within days of one another. While sleeping one night, one of the women rolled over on her baby, and the baby died. While the other woman was still sleeping, the woman that had the dead baby switched the babies. So the other woman woke up and found a dead baby next to her, but realized, this is not my baby. But the first woman that did the switch insisted that that was her baby, and the living one was hers. So the dispute was brought before Solomon and explained to him. Here's what Solomon said. And the king said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh my lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. This is pretty messed up, right? Okay? I mean, let's be honest here. This is pretty messed up. The woman that her baby was already dead was willing to let this other baby die as well. You know what this tells us as a side note? Grief does pretty bad things to people, doesn't it? If you don't actually deal with your grief and go to the Lord with your grief, it can mess up your thinking. So this woman who already was grieving the loss of a baby was willing to say, okay, I'm hurting, she's going to hurt too. So as a side note, grief does mess us up. So if you're grieving something, you need to go through the healthy channels in order to work through that grief and go to the Lord and other Christians to help you through that time of grieving, or else you'll be susceptible to making very bad decisions. But let's see what happened here. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman, by no means put him to death. She is his mother. Now, in hindsight, we could all agree that this was a wise way to find out who the real mom was. But who thinks of this, right? I mean, if I was in Solomon's seat, the first thing I'd think of wouldn't be, bring me a sword, okay? I'd be like, did the babies have any incriminating marks on them so you can identify your child, right? That's what I, wouldn't you? I mean, now you're like, yeah, I would think of the sword. No, you wouldn't, okay? You would not think of the sword, okay? The wisdom got the attention of people. And the glory was given to God, not only by God's people, but by the nations. Let's look. All Israel heard of this judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Then we skip down to verse 34. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Think about this for a second. Everyone heard about this and said, that's amazing. That is a wise decision. So the question is, how do you and I get this wisdom? Well, it's unlikely that the Lord's going to appear to you in a dream and say miraculously, what do you want? And you're going to say, I want wisdom, and the Lord's going to give it to you. But the good news is we're not minimized to like an account like this, because we have God's wisdom in God's word. See, we receive the wisdom of God from his word. In fact, the best of Solomon's God-ordained wisdom is recorded in his word. Actually, the scriptures say this, Solomon also spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. Most theologians agree that about 800 of the proverbs are attributed to Solomon. So what are you waiting for? You have the wisdom of God accessible to you every single day of your life. You can open his word every single day of your life and gain wisdom from him. Get into his word. Get into the Proverbs. See the wisdom. You listen to, read the Proverbs, you'll be like, man, that's some good stuff, okay? That's some wise things. Even unbelievers hear some of these things and say, yeah, that's some good advice, right? But it's not only the Proverbs. It's the whole counsel of God's word. Let me just tell you, and I know I've been telling you this for years and years and years and years, get into his word. Get to know him through his word. Yeah, Christian books and things like that, they're helpful, but get into God's word. Get into God's word, because his word is what speaks. When you come here on Sunday morning, we study God's word. The reason why is because that's what speaks. It's not me who speaks. Okay? We're just here for a short time. You've heard me say this before. We're like a speck on the course of human history. You realize this? Okay, let me just bring us all down a notch, right? Think about this. You go to history class when you were a little kid. You get to chapter 3 or something like that. Abraham Lincoln. Talk about Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States. Who was the 12th? Who was the 10th? Who was the 9th? Okay? Right? You don't know. I don't know, right? And the reason why we don't know, those people lived and they died. No one really remembers. Guess what? 100 years from now, Mike Mrazek, people won't even know how to say my last name, okay? Here's the thing. Nobody's going to know who I am. Nobody's going to know who you are. But they'll know that glory was brought to God through the things that we did when we're here on earth. And it doesn't matter if they know our name. It matters that they know the Lord God who loves them, who gave himself up for them. So get into his word. Make your requests things that are going to bring him glory. I want to close Proverbs 8, 10 through 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. I'm thankful for your servant Solomon, who asked you for wisdom, and you showed us how the blessing was beyond measure. Blessing him, blessing your people through that request so that he could bring glory to you. I pray, Lord, for our prayer lives. I pray that we wouldn't limit those prayer lives just to the ailments of us and the people around us, the basic needs, but Lord, that our prayer life would consist of things that are truly bringing glory to you. So I'm thankful again for this day, thankful for each person that's here, and I just pray that each of us spends time gaining wisdom from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Please stand as we close the worship.